Everywhere I have been the last 2 months, that song is following me. Ever since I heard it 2 months ago and got the idea for doing a sermon series really based off of the questions of that song, everywhere I go, no matter where it is, I am hearing the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Has that ever happened to you? When you get something in your brain or in your heart or something, and everywhere you go, everywhere you look, it's just there. It's following you. I remember when I had my first son, Tristan, I got the joy and blessing, I mean that seriously, of being able to stay at home and watch Tristan the very first year that he was 1 year old. And I didn't know kids existed before I had my own kid. Everywhere I went with my son, whether it was to the mall or to a park, wow, where did all these kids come from? I've never seen so many children in my entire life. And it's really been like that with this song. Everywhere I go, I'm just hearing this song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And just in case you didn't know, the reason we're even taking a look at this song is because of the questions. It asks some phenomenal questions in this song. The very first verse talks about, "Do you see what I see?" And then today, this morning, we're going to ask the question, the title of the song actually, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I hope, as Ian invited you to come back tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to finish this series by asking one more question. And that's the very, really, the last verse of the song where it says, "Do you know what I know?" And so this morning, I missed you guys last week. I showed up here faithfully. I stood up here, and there's no one here. Just want to let you know. Do you hear what I hear? I want you to think for a moment, what are some of the sounds that you have been hearing over the past couple weeks? What are some of the sounds that, you know, certainly we're hearing Christmas carols more often. I don't know, Silent Night type stuff. Grandma got run over by a reindeer, maybe. What are some of the sounds that you are hearing? Certainly sounds of laughter at seeing new friends and relatives as they've been coming into town. Maybe just sounds of joy. As Christmas is approaching. Maybe it's more sounds of tear over the loss that you're not seeing certain people that you wish would be with you this Christmas season. Or maybe it's sounds of anger and frustration at as family comes together, there's conflict, and there's just more conflict as people, that house grows bigger and bigger with more and more people coming home. What are some of the sounds that you have been hearing? Now let me ask another question. If someone were to listen real closely to you, what would be some of the sounds that they would be hearing coming from your direction? What would be some of the sounds that people would, as they just listened and observed how you have been over the past few weeks, the past month, as we've been approaching this Christmas season, what are the sounds that people would be hearing coming from you? This morning, as I'm asking this question, "Do you hear what I hear?" I'm going to flip it around a little bit. It's not the question is, do you hear what I hear in terms of the sounds coming from God speaking to us? The question that I'm asking this morning is, do you hear what I hear? It's the sounds and the things that humanity is actually saying back to God. So this morning, as we go through this, this is not what God is speaking to us. And certainly God is speaking to us. But the focus of where we go this morning is asking, what is it that we are saying back to the God who visited humanity 2,000 years ago in flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ? Are they sounds coming from us that are actually directing people's hearts and people's gaze and attention, love towards the God who came to visit his creation, to visit humanity? It's a tough question. What are the sounds that have been coming from your direction? And are they sounds that are actually directing people's gaze and hearts back towards God? And my hope as we look at some scripture together this morning is we're going to look at a song. We're just going to listen as best we can to a song that was offered up by a young 14-year-old girl whose life literally had just been turned upside down. And so she decided to write a song to the God that she loved. And this is what I want us to hear this morning. It was a song really of worship, a song saying thank you, a song of praise, a song of adoration. And it's a song that's not about her. It's a song that's about God. And as I've been listening to this song as recorded in Luke chapter 1, It certainly has been directing my heart, my attention, my gaze back towards God. Do you hear what I hear? I hear a song offered up by a young girl, a song of worship and a song of praise. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 1, where we left off 2 weeks ago. Very simply, an angel visited a young girl named Mary and said, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be ultimately God's child, the Son of God. And he is going to be great and wonderful, and he is going to be a ruler of an eternal kingdom. Very easy news to hear. I'm sure all of us would agree with that. And so what happened after Mary was visited by this angel, Gabriel, she wants to run off and share the good news with what has happened. And so we pick up before we really hear her song at verse 39 in chapter 1. It says this: at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth, old in age, and they were also visited by an angel and told that they were going to have a son, and their son would actually be the one who would prepare the way for Mary's son, for Jesus. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Isn't that amazing? Okay, this is not like a little kick in like her bladder or something like that. Well, that was odd. What was that? This is a baby that is just leaping for joy in her womb. This is a guy who would spend his entire life preparing the way for Jesus, but ultimately pointing people to Jesus Christ. This was one who said, I am not the one. I am not the Savior. He is. Look, there's the Lamb of God. And what's so amazing to me is before he's in the womb, he's already pointing people to Jesus. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning what she's about to say is going to be guided and directed by God's Spirit now within her. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. How on earth did she know that Mary was even pregnant? Okay, if Mary hurried off to see Elizabeth, literally left the angel, it's about an 80-mile trek to where Elizabeth and Zechariah were living. So that's at least 3-4 days. Okay, so we'll just give it a week. Okay, so we're going to assume that she's not even pregnant maybe for more than a week, 2 weeks. We'll give her a month. How on earth did Elizabeth even know that Mary was with child? Okay, guys, I really want you to listen here. Women, you can ignore me for the next 30 seconds. Gentlemen, do not ever try this, ever. Don't ever go to a woman and say, the Holy Spirit is filled within me. I think you're pregnant. Are you pregnant? It will not go well for you, okay? It won't work. I mean, don't do it. Women, suggest you probably don't do the same, but men especially. Don't ever go up to a woman and say, wow, you're looking very pregnant these days. I digress. Verse 43. Elizabeth says, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is an elderly woman speaking to a 14-year-old girl. I love Elizabeth's humility before this young girl. She goes on, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I just love that Elizabeth, in seeing this young girl Mary, doesn't respond to Mary by saying, why you? Why not me? Why didn't God pick me to have the son who would become the Savior of the world? What's so special about you? Great, my son's going to grow up to be a weirdo who lives in the desert eating locusts and honey and dresses really funny. I just love that Elizabeth's response to Mary was just one of humility. And she recognized and she saw that God was doing something great, that God was doing something amazing, that God's grace was on Mary's life. And she says, I am blessed. I am blessed. And then she finishes when she says, blessed is she who has believed. She says, you are blessed. And why is Mary blessed? Because she's so special? No, she believed that God, what God said was going to happen, she believed that it would happen. Okay, and by the way, what God was telling her was going to happen, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's pretty amazing. That's not an everyday, ordinary occurrence. But Mary, because she had this encounter and God spoke, Mary believed, and Elizabeth looks at Mary and says, "You are blessed." And so now we come to verse 46, and it's recorded as Mary's song that she really wrote to God. Before I look at the scripture, what's your favorite song? Don't shout it out, but just think in your head, what is your favorite song? Okay, does everyone have, you can hum it, I guess, if you would like. But what is your favorite song? I mean, what is that song that you just love to listen to? It comes on the radio, or you put on your CD or your iPod, and you just keep rewinding, or, you know, that kind of thing, because you just love hearing that song. When you hear that song, it just puts a smile on your face. Maybe it's because of the words or the story in the song. Or maybe it's the artist and you know the story behind the artist and his or her life. What is that song for you? For me, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama. I don't know why, but when I hear that song, it makes me smile. I don't know if it's because I have a desire to be like a Southern trucker, wanting to go back home to the Southland where I've never even been, but maybe I've been to the Southland and I didn't know it, and I just have this desire to go back to the Southland where the skies are so blue, and that's apparently where the Lord lives, because that's where the song, you know, skies are so blue and I'm going, Lord, coming home to you. Okay, no one is on board with me that Sweet Home Alabama. I got one. All right, good. Why is it your favorite song, the song that you are thinking about? This week, or 2 weeks ago, I was wanting to think through, what is it that really makes a great song? I mean, what makes for a great song? And so I just kind of Googled some stuff of singer-songwriters, websites, and was just getting some thoughts, advice, so to speak, of if you're going to write a hit song, what are some of the things that actually need to be in place? You know, a good song that only speaks to the heart but also engages the mind. And according to, this is a collaboration of some different websites, but it says it's got to do something to my head, my heart, and my feet. Okay, so it's got to have those components. It's got to have a catchy intro, something that grabs you. It must have a strong hook, must have lyrical depth. I mean, it's just not a surfacey type of thing. It draws you in. And it also has to have artistic integrity. And what I really loved about that is I know a lot of different guys who are in the music business, singer-songwriters and such, and one of the things that I always hear them critiquing, not always very nicely, but critiquing other singer-songwriters, is they always come back and say, oh, it's just not believable. It's just not believable. So when they listen to the words in their songs that they're hearing, they always come back and say, it is absolutely not believable. They've never lived that. They're singing about a relationship they've never even had. They're singing about pain that they've never even experienced. Therefore, it renders it just not credible. It's not believable. It's something that they're just writing about but never have lived. And what I love about what the song we're going to listen to is it's incredibly believable. This young girl, Mary, had an encounter with God unique to her. No other human has had this encounter with the living God that Mary has had. And the song that she writes is in a response to an encounter that she had with a God who said, Mary, I'm going to do something wonderful. The Savior of the world is coming, and he's going to be coming through you. You are going to be the mother of this child, Jesus. And so let's not put it up on the screen. I just want you to listen. You can follow along if that's helpful to you. But this was written as a song. Verse 46. And as best you can, close your eyes if that helps. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds, And with his arm he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now, I know it's kind of hard to be like, that's a song? What did it sound like? What was the beat behind the song? I was going to try and make it up for you, but when I was practicing, it just didn't come out right, so I'll save myself the humiliation. But this is a song written from the depths of someone's soul, of someone's heart. And what I'm not going to do today is just tear apart this song and looking for the finer points of this kid's theology. I'm trying to say, well, what's she saying here and what she's saying here and what she's saying here? We don't do that to music. I mean, when's the last time you listened to a song, albeit your favorite song, and said, yes, I'm going to tear this song apart and I want to know what this word means? And were there other choices that could have been used instead of this phrase? We don't do that to music. When we really want to get into the heart of a song and the heart of the artist of the song, what do? You listen to it again and again and again. And you do the best you can to wrap your head and your heart around what is being sung in the lyrics of this song. So help us do that. I read it again and I just listen to the heart that is being poured out. Her soul is singing a song back to the God she loves. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? He's been mindful of me, of the humble state of his servant. I'm nothing. I realize that. But God's been mindful of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And his name is holy. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. It's such a powerful song that Mary, a very young child, writes to the God who visited her, the God who spoke to her. And she writes a song of praise, a song of worship to him. As I've been thinking about this song, a lot of scripture has been just jumping out at me. Of whenever people have really a remarkable interaction with the divine, when God does something phenomenal in people's lives or in the story of a community, people burst forth in song. It's very interesting. If you look just through Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, anytime the people of God see God do something remarkable, redeem them, save them, speak to them, forgive them, they break forth in song. There's just something sometimes that words cannot just express, that we must sing what is really speaking and just jumping in our hearts. Exodus 15, I'm not going to get into the whole story, but there's a story of people of God who are in captivity for 400 plus years, crying out, God, please do something about this situation. And so God does do something about this situation, and he saves them. He leads them through the Red Sea while their captors are chasing them. Okay, if you're familiar with that story, this is a song that was written right after the Red Sea where God saved his people. And Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. And this is the song. This is Exodus 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he's hurled them into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Why? Because the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. This is the story. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, well, he's hurled them into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers, they're drowned. This is like the trash-talking section of the song. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. I don't know if that's a verse or the chorus there, but your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. And I skip down to another section, the close of the song, or towards the end of it. And this is such a great lyric in the song. Who among the gods is like you? O Lord, who among the gods is like you? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working in wonders? See, what the people of Israel were saying is, there's no God like our God. He's a God who loves, he's a God who saves, he's a God who redeems, he's a God who delivers. He's a God not to be messed with. He's a mighty warrior. And so when God would do phenomenal things in the lives of his people, they would break forth in song. And this is what we have in Luke chapter 2, or Luke chapter 1. God is doing something phenomenal in the life of Mary. What we know her to be is his servant. Now, if you were to look this song, if you didn't notice, and that's okay, it's just rich with a lot of Old Testament imagery throughout this entire song. But in its most simplest, purest form, this is a love song. It's a song written by a young girl just wanting to let her God know that she loves him. Question, when was this song written? Was it written like immediately? Was it written like as soon as she found out this incredible news that God was going to do this in her life and gave her a picture of what her son would look like? Was it written immediately, or was it written like 50 years later after all had been said and done, and she sits back to reflect upon the life that she has lived and the life that her son now has also lived? Well, the text doesn't really point to anything. If anything, it actually points to that she wrote it pretty soon, pretty quickly, after she found out that she was now pregnant with God's child, Jesus. And, okay, if you're asking why, why does it matter when the song was written? It matters to me, and I hope it will matter to you, because if it is written within a week, 2 weeks, a month, after she has just had this encounter, which I believe it is, wow, this is a powerful song. You have to remember when she said, okay, to God, I'm your servant, I'll do whatever it is you have in store, whatever you have in mind for me, I'm your servant. I will do it, no matter what it is. I mean, this is the epitome of life interrupted, life literally flipped upside down. When Mary's life got squeezed, when her life literally got turned over, worship came out. Like when her life was just getting squeezed. I mean, this was no simple task that God had placed on her. She would never be the same in the midst of everyone saying, you're a delusional adulteress. How can you claim to be pregnant but yet a virgin? And not only are you claiming this crazy thing, but you're claiming to be pregnant with God's child. You're a whack job. That's what people would have been saying. You need help. In the midst of that situation, when she is getting squeezed, worship comes out. That's why it matters when this song was written. In the midst of a life getting turned upside down, flipped over, and squeezed, worship comes forth from Mary's heart, Mary's lips. It says in Luke 1:46 and 7, Mary said, my soul, it glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I mean, this is from the depths of who she is, a 14, 15-year-old girl. From the depths of her soul and her heart, she's crying out and basically saying, God, you are so good. You are so good. And I love you from the depths of my soul, all of who I am, all of what I say and breathe. I love you. This last couple months has been crazy for me personally. I feel like I've just been getting squeezed and tipped over, flipped upside down. And I would love to say that in the midst of my getting flipped upside down and squeezed, wow, nothing but like praise and worship has been flowing from my mouth. But if you've hung out with me in my most private moments, which you haven't, thankfully, you would hear, wow, Michael's just got a song of complaint, a song of frustration. Where's my song of God, you're my Savior? No matter how hard I get squeezed, no matter how hard I get tipped over, my soul is saying, I want to write a song of worship that no matter how bad I get squeezed, how much I get tipped over, I would get to the place where just praise and worship flow. How about you? When you get squeezed, I mean, think of the last couple weeks. Christmas is a time where we get squeezed, is it not? Tough situations, tough conversations. When you get tipped over, what comes out of you? What flows from your soul? What comes out of your heart? Okay, and please don't miss it. I'm not talking as soon as you get squeezed, you break forth in the first praise song, you know. That would be weird and silly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you do get squeezed, your first thought, God, you're still good, and my soul loves you. I still rejoice. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. That doesn't matter. My understanding is not dependent on my soul still saying I love you and my soul still crying out that you are good. What happens when you get squeezed? I would venture to say many of us in the next 2 days, I mean, Christmas is coming up, if you didn't know, it's in 2 days. There will be a lot of moments that you will be squeezed and tipped over. And my hope, my desire would be that you would remember a song that was offered up to the God she loved by a 14, 15-year-old girl. It might be a hard situation, a circumstance, confusing, conflicting. But might you, in that moment, just remember God's word, the word spoken, sung by a little girl whose life had just gotten squeezed and flipped upside down. Might you remember that her soul, her heart just rejoiced and said, God, I love you. You are still good. You are still my Savior. As I've been thinking about, why does so much complaint and so much, I'll just put it that, complaint come out of you, Michael? And as I've been asking the Lord, why is that? And God's been nice to me and said, well, Michael, a lot of your life is still about you. And I say, well, thank you, God, for being so kind to speak to me. A lot of your life is still about you. And so when you do get squeezed and tipped over, you get upset. You get frustrated because there's parts of you that are still about you. And what I loved about Mary is her life was not hers. At the end of the message 2 weeks ago, it was the bottom line, I'm your servant. Do with me as you will, because that's who I am. It's not about me, Mary is saying. And what God is saying to me, and I hope would speak to you, if songs of praise or worship just don't burst forth when you do get tipped over or you do get squeezed, maybe it's because a lot of your life is still about you. And it's not about the God that you claim to love. And so that's just asking God, God, give me that soul, give me that heart, that just no matter what the story is, no matter what the situation, circumstance is, I say I love you. Why? Because you are my Savior. She goes on, she says, he's been mindful of this humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations are going to call me blessed because the Mighty One's done great things for me. I love that Mary remembers who she is. She doesn't like dwell on the bad press, and she doesn't dwell on the good press. She just dwells on what God has said to her. And she knows who she is. Who is she? She's God's servant. That's it. What a cocky servant, though. In her song, she says, the generations are going to look at me and call me blessed. Is that cocky? Is that arrogant? Is it prideful? No. Why? Why did she say that generations would call her blessed? Because God had done something great. They would look at the life that she lived, and they would see God's fingerprints all over it, and they would give praise and credit to the God who grabbed hold of this young girl's life and did something beautiful. In her song, she says, generations will call me blessed because the God whom I love, the God whom I know as my Savior, he has done great things. Mary echoes psalmist's words here in Psalm chapter 8. I don't know if I have that on the screen for you. But when she's talking about this, just being a humble state of her servant, Psalm 8 verse 3 and 4 says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? What a great question. If someone just stands out in the field one night and is looking at the glory of the just the stars and God's creation, they are overwhelmed with the sense of who on earth am I that God would care about me? And that's what I see in Mary as she's echoing these words. I am just I'm nobody. Who am I that God would care for me? I'm a kid. I'm a 14-year-old girl in a town that no one can even find out where it is on the map. I'm nobody. Why would God come to me? Why would God care for me? And if you've never wrestled with that question, wrestle with it now. Because the answer is, why does God care for any of us? Because it's God's grace. I can't look at my life and be like, well, it's because I'm a holy, righteous person. No. Why does God care for me? Because that's who God is. He's a gracious God who cares for humanity. He cares for his creation and desires that we would be in a saving relationship with him. We're nobody. We're sinful people. Mary, I just love the humility that she has. She knows who she is, and she knows that God has been mindful of her because of his grace. Who is this God? Holy. That's who he is. What's his name? Holy. How should I think of this God? Holy. He's perfect, completely set apart, without flaw. He is a holy God, but yet a holy God wants to get his hands dirty with me. Just a humble servant from a town no one even knows where it is. That's who God is. She goes on. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She raises a really great question. Is this deal just for Mary? Like, is this life just for Mary? Like, God's grace, God's mercy, is it just for her? Or would God do this for other people? It's a great question. A good song raises good questions, does it not? And she raises a good question here. Is God's mercy just for me, or is it for all of humanity? And the answer to that question is yes. God's mercy is for everyone who fear him. And this idea of fearing God here really is a reference, or in this context is having a reverence or an awe for God, having a humility and an obedience before God. Why? Because he's holy, and I'm not. But a holy God still wants to know and be in relationship with Mary, and consequently all those from generation to generation, past, present, and future, all of those who would fear him. So that's who his mercy is for. She goes on towards the end of her song. She says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent away the rich empty. Mary not only writes about her own experience with God, but she begins to ponder. She begins to think of what God has done with the community, the people of God. I love that the song is just not focused on her. She begins, as she's thinking about who God is and how great God is, she begins to think, you know what? God has done great things before me. Why should I be surprised that he would do great things with me and in the days to come? She starts pondering all the things that God has done. Raises a great question. Who really is this God? And she says he's a God who performs mighty deeds. And then secondly, he is a God who deals justly with the prideful. And you have to understand, if you're a nobody in that culture, which Mary would have been, you're always asking yourself the question, well, what about that person who just, they don't seem to live a life that looks anything that a God-fearing person would look like. They seem to live a life that is always putting people like me down. This is where this is coming from. A humble person. God, what about those people who just reject you? What about those people who reject us? And she says, you know, God is just. God is just. The prideful, they're scattered, brought down, and they're sent away. And what are they sent away with? Empty. They're sent away empty. She knows God to be just. She knows God to be righteous and fair. And those who are humble, people of humility, are lifted up. And I love this. Prideful, rich are sent away empty-handed. But those who are humble are filled with good things from God. The song finishes here. And she says, he's helped me. Helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. That's Luke's added commentary, that last verse there. It's not the close to the song. The close to the song is she wants to make one more powerful statement about the God she's encountered, the God she loves. And the statement is pretty amazing. She says, if anything, I know God to be faithful. He's made promises to my people, the people of Israel. And God, a covenantal God, who had made promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, made promises to King David that one day there would be someone who would sit on his throne for eternity. The promises are being fulfilled in this child. And so she finishes her song. She finishes her song by saying, God, you have been faithful to answer and fulfill all of the promises that you have made right here with this child. With this child, Jesus. I love that Mary finishes the song by recognizing that God just hasn't done great things for her, but God has done great things for the community she's part of. Do you hear what I hear? I've heard a lot of noise over the past couple weeks. And I can be honest with you and say it's not always noise that directs my gaze or directs my heart back to the God I know and to the God I love. It's easy for me to look out, but when I look within and I say, well, Michael, how about you? If someone were to ask that question of you, do you hear what I hear coming from your direction? It hasn't always been a song of worship, a song of praise, a song of my soul glorifies God because he's my Savior. The question is, do you hear what I hear, not in what God is saying to us? The question I want to just leave you with is, what is it that we are actually saying back to God? What is it that humanity is singing back to God right now? After Mary encountered the grace of God, I love that a new song was born within her heart. And that's what happens when someone is graced by God. Have you noticed that? When someone has really just been graced by God, the lyrics of their life begin to change. God plants a new song within our soul and with our heart. Why? Not because I've done great things or you do great things, but because God has done great things. God has initiated with us by his grace. I just have not been able to get this image out of my head of when we encounter a gracious God, really the lyrics of our life, how we live, begin to change. It was pretty instantaneous for Mary, which just makes me wonder, what was Mary like before she met God? Well, I have a sense that she was just a pretty humble servant, doing the best that she could to walk with God. But when the grace of God really showed up in her life, he did plant a new song within her heart. If you're here this morning and you might be looking for a new song to sing, some new lyrics for your life to be about, might you just pause just for a few moments and just consider God's grace. Just simply that, God's grace. That he's been merciful. That he's called you into, invited you into a relationship with him. And if you're here this morning and you're like, wow, I didn't know these things about God. I didn't know God was merciful. I didn't know God was kind, and I didn't know God was a God who seeks to save. He does. He does. If you're here, God's grace is really seen most clearly in this child, in Jesus Christ, that he demonstrated his grace, his love for all of humanity that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, that we might be in right relationship with him. And it's really only through Jesus Christ, not a life well lived. None of us could do that. None of us could live a life where we don't sin. God stepped forth into humanity some 2,000 years ago so that we could be in right relationship with him when we placed our faith in Jesus, who is Savior. That's what he came to do. He came to save. He came to live a perfect sinless life because I could not. He died the death that I should have because of my sin. And he was raised back to life that when I put my hope, my faith, my trust in his resurrected life, I am raised to new life with him. And when I really stop and consider, wow, I've got a new song to sing. My songs of complaint or frustration or whatever they may be, why am I singing that stuff? That's directing no one's heart or gaze back to the God I love. So might you just take a few minutes to just consider God's grace in your life. If you're here and you are in relationship with this God through Jesus Christ, just pause. God, thank you. Thank you for saving, for being my Savior, for the being the one who redeemed me, for doing for myself what I could not. And if you're here this morning, you've not yet made that decision to get right with God, might this be the day, the morning, 2 days before Christmas, just to say, God, I recognize I'm a sinful, fallen short person. Most of my life, all of my life, has really been about me. I don't want it to be about me anymore. I need a new song in my heart. Might you just cry out and say, God, might you extend your grace to me? I open myself, my heart, my life to you. Father, thank you for the song that we were able to listen to this morning. And your humble servant, Mary. God, it could have been a song of complaint of, why are you picking on me? Why are you turning my life upside down? But God, that's what your grace does. It changes us. Changes us. You put a new song in that young girl's heart. And the lyrics of her life began to change dramatically. God, might we as a people just pause to consider your grace, your favor, your love demonstrated to each of us. And Father, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you in a real way, in a personal way, might you continue just to open their heart and their eyes and ears and mind just to see and hear you, a gracious God. And might you just give them the grace and the strength and the courage to turn their life over to you. Please just sing for a few moments of God's grace in your life. And if you're here this morning, might you consider opening your life and your heart to a gracious God who desires to walk with you.